Grace to you and welcome to the Deeper Daily Podcast for the 24th day of February. I'm your host, Paul White, and I'm so thankful you're with me today. And I'm not only thankful you're with me, I'm thankful for you. I thank my Father for you, all of you, that you are our friends, our partners, our brothers and sisters in the faith. So many of you have committed yourselves to helping us financially to be able to do what we do. And I'm so thankful for those of you who do that, from the smallest gift to the largest gift to the one-time gifts, from the one-time gifts to the many times of gifts and the consistent gifts. We are so thankful. And for those of you who haven't given and the Lord hasn't compelled you to do so, we're thankful that we're able to be of benefit in some way in your life as well. Tell someone about the podcast, someone that is interested, anyone that is interested in a journey through the Word in which they take a look at the finished work of Jesus and then apply that finished work to the Bible. That's what we're trying to do. We are in the book of Ezekiel, and we are in the early stages of really unpacking this book, not verse by verse, but just point to point here and there, story to story. And today I want to read for you of a couple of verses from Ezekiel chapter 3. This has probably happened a dozen times as I've been journeying through this text, and not just Ezekiel, but the whole Old Testament, that I've come across passages that I heard quoted so many times in my formative years coming up in church, and particularly that I either heard quoted or that I quoted when I came up in ministry nearly 30 years ago, started preaching. And a lot of times I was just quoting what I heard other preachers say. That's what happens when you're as young as I was when I went into ministry, and you just really... Everybody's an elder to you, and so you kind of latch on to whatever mentors you can. And I quoted a lot of verses without really knowing where they were or the context that they represented. And here's one of them from Ezekiel chapter 3, verses 8 and 9. "Behold, I have made your face strong against their faces, your forehead strong against their foreheads. Like adamant stone, harder than flint, I've made your forehead. Do not be afraid of them, nor be dismayed at their looks, though they are a rebellious house." Now, I never quoted it like that. How I always had it quoted to me, or how I quoted it was, "I'm praying that God," here's how we would say it, "I'm praying that God will give me," like he did Ezekiel, "that he'll give me a forehead of flint, that I'll be able to take whatever attacks that people have and that they bring against us." And that was always our prayer. Well, I get why we said it. A lot of times we were saying it because we were in controversy or we were arguing or we were fighting. Looking back, sometimes we didn't need a forehead of flint as much as we might have needed to just keep our mouth shut. Some things that were hard to deal with and hard to handle were as a result of our own opening our mouths and saying things we probably should have wrestled with a little bit longer. So I have found myself in some situations, quote unquote, spiritually, where I thought I needed a forehead of flint to plow through it. And it helped when I learned to just be quiet and realize that some of those things weren't necessarily spiritual attacks. They were just rebuttals or arguments against some of the things I was fighting against. With that said, there was certainly in Ezekiel's day the need to have his face strong against their face, his forehead strong against their forehead, so that when they headbutted him, when they attacked him, he would be able to survive. He would be able to function in a world in which he was under attack. Now, how I would handle this now, first of all, I understand that attack is sometimes part of what we are doing. It's just part of what you should expect. If you're going to deliver good news, you're going to have those who oppose good news. You're going to have those who disagree with your delivery of good news. You're going to have those who disagree with the content of your good news. And that's just to be expected. You're also going to be opposed because we are a relatively free people. Well, we're exceedingly free compared to the peoples in the history of the world. And being an exceedingly free people, we have a lot of opinions and we have a lot of platforms to voice those opinions. And with that being the case, you're not going to find any sort of universal agreement to almost anything that you say. And so you're going to have some pushback there. And also, if iron truly sharpens iron, as we learned in the book of Proverbs, then once in a while you need that flint attacked by other flint. You want to be at your sharpest. And so a little bit of pushback against some of the things that you say, some of the things that you believe, is to not only be expected, but is to be welcomed. But in a contextual sense, to me, what is important was a verse that I never really looked at, which was the next verse, verse 10. Moreover, he said to me, Son of man, receive into your heart all my words that I speak to you, and hear with your ears. And what that tells me is, if you truly want that forehead of flint, if you want to be able to deflect the things that are said against you or the things that are brought against you, don't stop with the prayer of, give me a forehead of flint. Continue with, open your heart to receive his words. And so for me, what I've come to understand is that the only way that I'm going to be equipped to be able to deal with whatever comes against me is if I have already opened my heart to hear what the Father has to say about me. Because if I don't listen to what the Father has to say about me, the only thing I'll hear is what somebody else has to say about me. And when I am listening only to what someone else has to say about me, I will try and gravitate towards people who agree with me, run hard from people who disagree with me. And when I do hear disagreements, arguments, fightings, contentions, and wrestlings, I will take them as evidence that I'm being attacked, I'm being hated, I'm being misused, I'm being mistreated, I'm being abused. And then if I'm building some sort of personal identity off of what other people think of me, then that begins to crash and crash down on me and crush me, and then I'm destroyed. But if I've opened my ear, opened my heart to what the Father has to say about me, then whatever you have to say about me, or he has, or she has, will not have near the effect because I've already opened my heart. To me, the best new covenant example is Jesus, who comes out of the waters of baptism, the heavens open, and the Spirit says, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And he walks out into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil, and the devil immediately says, if thou be the Son, do this. The attack is against the very thing that Jesus was told when he come up out of the water. So if Jesus hasn't opened his heart to what his Father thinks about him, then he is susceptible to whatever the devil says about him. It is not always that you need to pray for a forehead of flint. It's that your forehead of flint is equipped by opening your heart to what the Lord knows about you and to what the Lord says about you. So find out today what the Father thinks of you, and it will give you the equipment to be able to navigate a world in which not everybody feels that way about you. But that's okay. You know what Daddy says about you, and you can rest in it because you know that he is always good. More from Ezekiel tomorrow. See you then. God bless.